I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome aboard. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. So I'm thinking about adding a monologue to the beginning of each program. Now, I often do a monologue, I suppose. I try and lay out, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's the best format for me to make this the most entertaining for you, because that's really the idea. It's great that I have a platform to speak my mind and say what's on my mind. That's amazing and excellent, and I'm very, very grateful for the fact that I have that. But the key is I have to make this entertaining for you. Right. So I know people like cop stories, and we know Chasing Justice is about law enforcement and justice in general and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking if I had a monologue, like an opening monologue where I named it something and I talked about a specific topic, that might help me to vent the thoughts in my head that need to come out. So if I found like a daily concept and talked about it and then went into different things, that might be interesting. I have a group of features that I've been thinking about doing as well. Like for each program, there's like 10 features, and I would do 3 of them per program or something. I'm not really sure. I like the idea of a monologue because that helps to focus me, right? That helps to focus me. I have a lot of thoughts, and I like to be focused, and it keeps me going. I had a lot of really good feedback from a program we did earlier when I talked about some specific cases. Now that is part of a thing that I'm writing for a book, a law enforcement book. It's going to be called Tales from the Road. And these are really stories of police work and things that I've been involved in and my partners have been involved in and other officers I know have been involved in, because some of the cases are really, really amazing. And, you know, to recount them, there's lots of lessons in them. So recently I taught a class, an online class, about managing a major case investigation. And it was really good because there are so many things that go into a major case, but it reminded me of multiple major cases. So I pulled out my files and I started looking at Tales from the Road. And there's some really, I think, interesting things that would be there. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that going, and maybe we'll do that today. Maybe part of our program today is I will pick one of these tales from the road, cop tales from the road, and we could talk about it. Because like I said, I got a lot of good feedback, emails, texts from people that said, gee, I really like that. It made me feel like I was right there with you. So, and that's the idea, to make this entertaining, and we can all learn something and get some ideas in our head and whatever. All right, so let's turn right now, for this moment, while we're all together, I want to concentrate on some current events. I like current events. Current events speak to our place in the world, our place in the nation, the state of our country. Now, one of the people that we've had on here in the past, and it's been a while, I'll admit it, because he's very shy, he doesn't come on often, is a friend of mine who lives in Massachusetts. And I like to give people nicknames, you know, because it makes them feel good. We have the boys from the neighborhood. We have Rock and Roll Race Car Jack. We all know that Jack is one of the really fun people from the boys in the neighborhood. We have Jim the contrarian, because Jim likes to argue about everything. And we have Bill the man of faith, Dallas. Well, we also have Yankee Doodle Keith from Massachusetts, because he is a patriot. He is a guy that is worried about his country. But, you know, he goes back and forth. He drives me a little bit crazy because he'll get on a rant and he'll start paying attention to the news and he'll see how screwed up our country is. And he'll send me these ranting text messages while he's at work about, can you believe Biden did this? Can you believe the two-tiered system of justice? Can you believe the way the Democrats are lying about everything and the media? And he goes on and on and on. And I'll give him a very thoughtful reply. I'll sit and take each one of his pieces apart and try and answer it to him. And he'll send me back with a, hey, thanks for that. Gives me a lot to think about. Click, and that's it. And then I won't hear from him. He ghosts, and I won't hear from him for a couple of weeks. So he drives me a little crazy. But the other day, he had called old Yankee Doodle Keith, and we actually had a phone call, and we were talking about some things, and he had stepped away for a while, because it really it really frustrates him what's happening to the country, and he can't understand it, and he gets himself all worked up. So he steps away as a way to cope with it, which lots of people do. They step away. They don't want to hear it. And this way they can function through their lives. And sometimes for people, that's the best thing. Just step away. If it drives you that crazy, step away from it. Live your life. Do what you're doing out there. Enjoy yourself. But I figure, you know what? He engaged, and now he got me thinking. And one of the things I came up with, I said, hey, how about I give you a quiz? Because he's like, I'm just so frustrated with everything. I said, let's get a quiz and let's see things you can ask people. Because that's what he said. How do I say to my coworkers when they say, Biden is so experienced, that's why we need him there. He's so experienced at his position. Well, he's an experienced apparent. It looks like he's involved in criminal activity. He's also corrupt. He's also inadequate as a president. He seems to have lots of problems. He's all those things too. But I said, so let me give you a quiz. So that's what we'll do now. We'll do a little bit of a quiz. And these are some things maybe you can use when your friends who are on the left, friends and family, people you love and care for, and they come up with this nonsense that, the orange man is dangerous. He's going to go crazy. Okay. He'll destroy the world. Well, they said that last time too, and when Trump was president, and he didn't destroy the world. We already talked about my friend's son, who had some identity crises, and he was afraid that Trump was going to lock up all the gay people in the country and force them to undergo conversion therapy to get rid of them being gay, and none of that happened. Nobody cares. You love whoever you want. Go live your life, right? Trump didn't do any of that stuff. He didn't come around and arrest all of his opponents. Well, wait a minute. Who is actually doing that? Who actually is arresting their opponents and charging them and bankrupting, trying to take their property and interfere with the election? Who's actually doing that? Well, our friends on the left are actually doing it. There's how many criminal cases against Trump? Only by left-wing blue state prosecutors, right? They're coming after him every way they can. They're trying to take his property now, which how absurd. When we start to see the absurdity of something, when we see what they're doing to Trump with the real estate trial in New York, with the prosecutor there in New York, the guy has to put up $450-something million just so he can appeal the ridiculous judgment of the judge and the prosecutor. It is so blatant. And look, what did I say a few weeks ago? When you talk about these kind of things with your friends who are on the left, either they don't see the reality of what it is, they're too stupid to see the reality of it, or they see it and they're ignoring it because they like it. And if you like it, even though it's bad for the whole country, then there's a problem with that. You're a part of a problem. So at the end of my shows, I often say, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Well, people that do that are part of the problem. They're causing the problem, and they don't see it. They don't see it historically, like most of them don't, that as long as you're getting the enemy, that's great. Well, one day it's going to be turned around on you, and you're not going to like it. And I think one of the best sayings that are out there, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't remember it exactly, was, when they came for the businessmen, I said nothing, and it was good. They got the businessmen. And then when they came for the churches, I didn't say anything, and because it was good, I didn't like the churches, so they came and got them. When they came for the people who draw pictures in the street, I didn't care because I don't like pictures in the street. And eventually there was nobody left for them to come after but me, and then they did, and there was nobody there to help me, right? And that's exactly what our friends on the left are doing. Now, a lot of us have seen this coming for a long time, and we've been proven right over and over and over again. We all said that they take things out of context purposely. We just saw this. We just see this, blatant as it could be, with the whole bloodbath comments about Trump. Trump was clearly talking about what's going to happen to the car industry if he's not elected. If Biden maintains power and the Democrats maintain power, the car industry is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a bloodbath in the car industry. But because our friends on the left are really corrupt, they are really, they lie about things. They look for any opportunity because they have the media. They have the media, except for America Out Loud and Fox News and maybe Newsmax. very few outlets for conservative news and commentary. But the reality is they took that term when he said there would be a bloodbath to mean Trump's going to be – it's going to be a bloodbath. If he doesn't win, he's going to kill everyone who didn't vote for him. He's going to kill his enemies. He's going to line them up and arrest them and shoot them and murder them all. Now, this is the most absurd, ridiculous, idiotic thing I have ever heard in my life, and especially in recent times. The fact that they manipulated that comment by Trump, took it out of context, and then added their own context to it. And then you saw certain outlets actually play the full clip, and it became crystal clear. He was not talking about going around and, if I'm not elected, there'll be a bloodbath. I'm going to call all my minions to start a war and kill everyone. It was so clear that that is not what he was saying. He was using the term bloodbath to mean it's going to be a terrible thing for people who want to have cars if we do not have someone in office like Trump who's going to protect the American autos and auto workers and that. If we allow the Chinese to have their factories in Mexico and ship their cheap cars here with slave labor that it's built with, it's going to be terrible. Sure, we'll get some cheap cars, but they'll be cheap cars. American cars will be out of business, right? And then that would be a bloodbath, meaning that the car industry in America would be destroyed. Not that Trump meant he's going to go out and kill people who disagree with him, which is what they said. And they all mimic it. Each and every one of them mimic it, one after the other. The great Rush Limbaugh used to put on a... he would put on a clip and he would go to all these media outlets of these left-wing pundits and they would be saying the exact same words. They must get the same sheet of music in the morning. This is what we'll say today. And they repeat the exact same phrase over and over on every single show all day long on the newspaper story. It's exactly the same. They circle the wagons very well on the left. They absolutely circle the wagons really, really well, which on the right, we can't seem to do that. All we can seem to do is have a circular firing squad. All we do, oh my God, Lieutenant Joe says that you're going to kill each other. It's a firing squad. That's not what I'm saying. See how they do it? They would take that out of context. The term circular firing squad does not mean I want anyone to shoot at anyone else with a gun. What it means is a bunch of idiots would have a firing squad. They would make it in a circle, and when they fired, they would shoot at each other. So basically, it's a self-defeating concept. That's what the meaning of it is when you say a circular firing squad. Just like Trump was saying, it'll be a bloodbath. He was talking about the devastation of American industry, jobs, and that kind of thing. Very clear. I'm a very common sense, intelligent person. I knew that's exactly what he meant. But I'm not out there looking for every single thing that he says. Like, how about Joe Biden? Joe Biden, he had that meeting the other day and he had to stop in the middle of it and walk over because I couldn't resist that baby. Oh my God, Joe Biden sniffs women and children's hair and now he can't resist a baby. He's a pedophile. You could take that out of context, couldn't you? When really all he was saying is that he saw this cute little baby and he wanted to go over and see the little baby. Now, maybe he just was attracted because it's a cute little baby and he's an old man. He likes little babies because they're adorable and sweet and beautiful. Maybe he just got distracted and saw a kid and, you know, lost his marbles and went over to see the kid because he's daft, right? It doesn't mean that he meant, oh my God, I couldn't stay away from a little child, had to go over there. But you could certainly twist it that way, couldn't you? Take it out of context and say that? Would it be true? No, probably not be true. I don't think that that's true. I think he just saw a little kid and he likes little kids. Maybe he thought it'll make me look nice. It'll make me look like what people say. Isn't he the nice old grandpa kind of guy? He loves a little baby. He's such a sweet man. He would never ruin people's lives. But of course we know that his policies will, right? So the whole bloodbath thing I thought was crystal clear. And it shows you, this is only the beginning of this process. They're going to do this. They're going to take out of context every single line that they can. They're going to twist it, throw it through some crazy machination, and come out with what they want you to think it is. And it's all going to be negative about Trump. And people are going to fall for it. Many people are going to fall for it. Half the country already wants to believe that stuff. And all you got to do is get a few in the middle to go, well, I don't know. It kind of sounded like maybe he wanted his minions to rise up and kill people, you know, because that's what I heard on NBC. That's what they said on MSNBC. And, you know, I think that, you know, they wouldn't lie, right? So anyway, the whole bloodbath term came out, and it shows you overall how absurd and ridiculous our national conversation has become on so many levels. On so many levels, the things that we talk about and the things that we're arguing about and the things that we're ignoring, the things that we're putting up with that are so detrimental to the continuing of America as a great nation and as a superpower in the world for good is so horrific that I'm shocked. You know, you used to say, could you imagine if the forefathers could crawl up out of their graves today and just listen to what passes for the national conversation today, what we're talking about as national concerns, how we're dealing with our country, with the borders, and with all these different kind of crazy social life things, and everyone who's got a problem, the whole country has to change because they have a problem. It is shocking. And when you sit back and you take stock of it and you go through the whole thing, it is, I don't know how it's survivable. I don't know how it's survivable. And I'm not a pessimist, I'm an optimist. But I have to say, half the country believes this stuff, believes in all this left-wing gobbledygook nonsense, instead of putting things into perspective and saying, okay, if some people are marginalized, we don't want marginalized people. How do we help them be part of the mainstream? As long as the mainstream stays healthy so that we can function as a country, so that we can move forward, so that everyone can rise. But we don't say that. We're in the midst of tear it down, tear it all down. It's all bad. It's evil. The whole country's bad. The forefathers were evil. The whole country's racist. We got to tear it apart. That's where we're at, you know. And the reason that so many people on the right feel exhausted is because we don't have the voice. We don't have the media every single day. We have a few outlets that you have to go find to hear. They're not in the mainstream, right? They're not MSNBC or CNN, or they're not the newspapers that push all of this nonsense as though it's the right and it's the best thing. So that has really gotten me going. And Yankee Doodle Keith brought that up, and he's very frustrated by it. And he's having a hard time seeing how it changes or goes forward. And I've said that many times. The whole change, the fundamental change in America that Barack Obama said he wanted to hoist upon America to change it fundamentally at its core from what it was to what he saw it as being better. It's already happened. How are we going to put these things back in the bottle? How do you reverse this anti-American feeling, this hate the cops, two-tier justice system, this, you know, get them at all costs, use the system against people you don't like, weaponize our law enforcement agencies. And I don't mean your local cops. I'm talking about the Department of Justice, the FBI, all these agencies that they can use against you if they don't like you. They can come after. And how can you fight them? How do you fight them? You can't. You either shut up and take the least punishment they're willing to give you to shut you up. If you're agreeing to shut up, then they'll give you a light punishment. If you don't want to shut up, they will destroy you. What they're doing to Trump, again, when he says, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, it is really the truth. They're showing you what they're going to do. They're showing you the totalitarianism that they are willing to wield against people that they disagree with as long as they hold power. And are they willing to cheat to hold on to power? Yes. Do you think Mr. Putin is going to win his election 65-35? Or do you think he's going to win 53%-47%? No, he's going to win 99.9% to nothing. Do you think that that's a fair election? Do you think the guy in Venezuela who wins by 99.9% is a genuine election? Do you think the people in Cuba who win the election that they have there, 99.9% to 1%? Do you think all the opponents of Putin who end up with poisoning and dying and jumping out of windows and getting hit by cars errantly, do you think that that is all legitimate? No, those are people in power who have decided, I'll do anything to maintain power. I'll pretend we're having elections, and then I'll do what I have to do to make sure that I win. Well, in America, we don't have exactly those terrible forces, but we certainly have a screwed up electoral system, don't we? And I don't mean the Electoral College. That's a good thing. I mean the way we run our elections. The fact that election cycle after election cycle after election cycle, we have not corrected the problems. We haven't fixed the problems. Why? Because the problems benefit the people in power. Otherwise, you would have voter ID. You'd have voting on one day, maybe 24 hours straight, you would have it. Well, how would you do that? People have to go home and rest. You'd have three shifts of poll workers. That's how you would do it. 3 8-hour shifts in a day. And then people could get there, whether they work early, work late, work during the day, take the day off. They need to take a bus. Everybody would be able to get to the poll within 24 hours. And you would count up all the votes at the end of the day, and you would say who won the election. With voter ID, you could say that only one person per vote, the way it's supposed to be. We could fix this. It would be very easy to fix it. But people don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it because it benefits them. It's as simple as that. And most of us sit back and just go, well, this time we have to hope for the best. In the meantime, they probably hope for the best in Russia. They hope for the best in Cuba. They hope for the best in Venezuela. They hope for the best in all of these places. And the elections still come out exactly where the people in power want them, right? So Joe Biden and our Democrat friends run around screaming about the Republicans are going to ruin democracy. In the meantime, who is shutting down free speech? Who is colluding with media companies to control free speech, to deplatform people that don't say things that they approve of? Who's making you take vaccines you don't want to take that are now proven detrimental to people's health? Who does all of that? Trump and the Republicans, or our friends on the left? I think my point is pretty clear. All right, now, we're going to get to the quiz. Let's get to this quiz. All right, so here's the, I went round and round. See what happens? I get going, and that's where I got to keep my notes so I can stay on track here. All right, so. Here's the quiz. Here's get the idea. Follow along here. I'm going to discuss a topic. I'm going to give you a topic, and then I'm going to ask you a question and see which side you fall on for that particular topic. So get a pen and paper, right? Or scratch into the snow or whatever it is you can do so you can keep track of your answers. Because this is about you. This isn't about me. I'm just asking the questions. All right, here we go. As we have things in America today, as it goes by the way of inflation at 3.5%, prices are 22% more than they were 3 years ago. The rate of inflation, the fact that it costs you so much money to get groceries, to feed your family, put gas in your car, to do anything we have to do now is so much more expensive now than it was 3 years ago. Are you in favor of sticking with the system we have right now that keeps inflation high, or would you rather do something different to lower inflation? Right? What would you do? Stay with what we got or lower inflation? Right? Our border, our open borders, which we're having millions of people come across the border that are not coming for asylum. They're not afraid of death at home. They're coming from economic reasons. They have a terrible economy. They have a bad government. They don't have opportunity. And they're coming here to America. Now, we can have the argument that they're coming to have better lives, and who blames them for that? The reality is millions of people pouring into our country that have no place to go, do not have jobs, do not have skill sets that we need, is draining on the country. So open borders. Is it good or bad that we have wide open borders? So is it good that they're wide open, or is it bad? That's the first part of the question. And part two, part B, is is the open borders now and the effect it's having on all our cities and all our people and our governments and our finances. Is it good or bad? Do you want to continue it or do you want to stop it? Okay. So first of all, is it good to have all these people that can't take care of themselves, or is it bad? And do you want to continue it or do you want to stop it? You have to answer that. All right. When it comes to free speech, do you appreciate free speech? Do you think free speech is good? Even ugly speech, shouldn't anyone be able to say their opinion? Doesn't mean you have to listen. But isn't more free speech better than less free speech so that you can speak up? Or do you prefer the government to come in and shut down things that the government doesn't like you to say, so you don't have free speech? So it's nice when somebody you don't care about is shut down. Do you like that? Do you appreciate when someone you don't like shut down? Do you want them shut down so they can't speak? Or do you want everyone to be able to speak? So that's the free speech question. Do you want more free speech or less free speech? And part two, do you want to shut down people you don't like what they have to say? Or do you think everyone should be able to have their say? All right, so that's the free speech question. Let's look at our two-tier system of justice. The weaponized Department of Justice, the FBI coming after people. Do you think that that's a good thing that they go after citizens or a bad thing? That's the first thing. Is it good or bad that the government is weaponized against its enemies? Right? And the part two of that is it if you think it's good, is it good only when it's after your enemies, or should it be after you as well when your turn comes, right? So that's one thing to look at. Our energy policy. All right, do we like paying $3 to $4 a gallon per gasoline when we could be paying $2 a gallon? Heating oil going up to very expensive prices. Diesel fuel for our trucks to move everything. I think they said 70% of everything in your house is moved by a truck. So is it better that we shut down the pipelines? We demand everyone buy an electric car that we can't afford and it doesn't work well and actually pollutes more and has to have child slave labor digging up the materials for the batteries? Or would it be better to let people make their own decision and stay out of the way? All right, so that's another one we should look at, our energy. Right, where do you come down on that? Do you like the fact that America is laughed at now? Do you think that America deserves that? That America's finally getting its comeuppance and it should shut up and sit down in the world? Or do you see America being powerful is really good for everyone in the world because it keeps evil people at bay and it allows good people to move forward? Or do you think America is bad and it should be shut down the way it's being shut down now under our friends on the left? All right, so there's our quiz. There's our quiz. I'm sure you took those answers down. We're gonna take a short break and then we're gonna come back and I'm gonna go over that quiz and I'll give you some thoughts that I have on these things. And then you can compare them to how you feel about these things. So we'll be back in a minute with more.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. HealthyCell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
All right. From my friend, Matthew McConaughey. Okay, welcome back, everybody. All right, so before we cover some of the quiz that I put out there, and then we move on to some other things, maybe a Tales from the Road or some more political commentary or something, I want to tell you for a minute about the Healthy Cell products. Okay, they're on the network here. And why do you mention them, Lieutenant Joe? They must pay you to say things. No, they do not. A couple years ago, I was looking for something to help me. As I hit the fourth quarter of life, I turned 60, and I said, hey, how do I stay healthy for the next 20 years? Stay in the gym, eat better. And then I heard on this very, very network about the Healthy Cell products, and I ordered some. I got the Immune Boost, and I got to tell you, I love it. It tastes good. I like the taste of it. People put it in juice. They put it on ice cream, or they just drink it out of the packet like I do. It's like a gel formula kind of a thing. Well, I was prone to sinus infections and bronchitis and all this stuff. And I tell you, in 3 years, I haven't had but two bouts of that, and it's gone almost immediately, including recently. I was on a business trip. I think I caught something when I was there. I was gone in 3 days. And it shouldn't have been. It should have lasted a lot longer, but it didn't. And I attribute it, yes, to Healthy Cell. The other thing is they make a REM sleep product to help you sleep better, and then Focus Factor. So when you're walking around the house going, why am I in this room? What did I do this for? Where's the newspaper? You'll be able to remember, right? Focus Factor, REM sleep, and the Healthy Cell product of Immune Boost. Check it out. If you're looking for that kind of thing, it's here on the network. It's all good stuff. I certainly do like it because I use it. All right. Now, we took our quiz and we talked about whether or not we like inflation or we don't like inflation, and a couple of side questions. Do we like the border open or do we like the border closed? And a couple of side questions. We talked about the value of free speech and we had some side questions. We talked about the two-tier system of justice. We talked about energy independence and having oil and gasoline and natural gas and all that at really good prices or very expensive. And then we talked about American power. Is better as America is powerful, or should it be diminished and tossed away, like many of our friends on the left would like to do? So here's how I would answer the questions. As far as inflation, I prefer low inflation. I know, maybe I'm stupid, maybe I'm a stunod, but I prefer low inflation. I would like to see prices come back down so that people can afford to feed their families, get good food, go on a little bit of a vacation, maybe buy a new car, put some new tires on the car, whatever they need to do. Have some extra jingle money in their pocket. So if they feel like going to the boardwalk and buying a cotton candy, they can do it without having to worry that their children are not going to be able to eat. Right, so I come down on the side of low inflation. That is how I look at it. And any policies that promote low inflation, I think, are good. All right. The border. Well, let's see. I think immigration is a good thing. Historically, immigration has benefited America. My family, going back multiple generations ago on both sides, my side and my wife's side, were immigrants to America. And it was good for America. They brought lots of good stuff to America. Do I think a wide open border without a good immigration policy is good? No, I do not. I think an open border is dangerous. I think of the 200 or so people on the terror watch list and the million or so people gotaways that God knows how many terrorists are in that group or criminals that are in that group got away. We don't even know who they are. I think that's probably bad for our country. I know it's bad for Lacken Riley, who was murdered by one of those people. I know it was bad for the 14-year-old girl who was raped and left for dead. It was bad for her. It's been bad for a countless number of people who have been victimized, not by the good, decent people who were coming here for a better life and the border's open, so they're walking on in, but for the criminals and the terrorists who are taking advantage and coming on in. I think that's very, very bad. And for that reason, I think we should have a closed border with a door, and people should come through properly. Does that mean we should fix our system and update the laws and everything? We should. But first, we have to stem the flow of people coming in that probably shouldn't be coming in, right? And then we get a handle on it, and then we can help people to come in here appropriately to help us with what we need, right? To bring things to the country to make it better and good for everybody. So that's where I come down on the border. Free speech. Wow. You can go back 200 episodes of this program and hear me talking about free speech. And what I say about free speech is that it is the linchpin of all our other freedoms. If you can't speak freely, then you are not free, and you can be controlled, and your ideas can be shut down. See, they don't like your ideas about freedom and liberty. They can shut you down, and that shuts down ideas, and therefore you control a population. So I come down on the side of more free speech, even if that means evil, ugly people say evil and ugly things. I don't have to listen to them. But if they get to say what they say, I get to say what I want to say. And that is the linchpin of freedom. So therefore, I'm on board for more free speech, not less. I don't want the government colluding with social media places or newspapers or TVs to suppress what the government decides they don't like as free speech or what they want promoted. Can you imagine if the Republicans took over the government and they said that Rush Limbaugh's books should be put in school libraries and taught to the children? Do you think you'd have some fanatical, crazy, nutty book burners then? Oh my God, you know that you would have that. How about if you went out and said, we're going to teach our children the Constitution? Do you think you'd have some nutty, crazy people then? Oh yes, then you would. But then it would be okay to burn books and prevent books from going in the library? Or that we should have a right to decide what kind of stuff goes in the library as parents? Do you think that conversation would probably come up? It probably would. All right, so I'm all about free speech. And let me add a little side comment to that. To all the people out there who are listening, and I know you're listening in your underwear in the basement, taking notes about Lieutenant Joe. When people say, and I saw this article recently, here is a list of books that have been banned from the library. They're not banned from the library. They're not banned from Amazon. They're not banned from you putting down your nickel and going buying the books and coming home and reading to your children or reading them yourself. When books are removed or kept out of school libraries, it is kept out for a reason, and that reason is not to prevent ideas from going into the kid's head. It is to prevent inappropriate material that is not age appropriate for young people to be exposed to by schools. The material, if your parents want to expose them to that, I think that's fine. You can expose them to it all you want. But in school, they should learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. They should learn being a good citizen. They should understand true history of the United States so that they can have a well-developed mind going forward. And then all of this social stuff that people want to bring into the school and people disagree with and they argue and fight about, that stuff does not belong in the school library, right? If you want to put all of those books in the public library, put them in there. And then if you want to go get them, you can go get them. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them from the bookstore. You can buy them from the publisher. Go buy them and then read them to your children at night going to bed. I think it's up to the parents and the community to decide what is age appropriate to teach children, not the government, the parents of the children. So if one district thinks that this is appropriate and they want to put it in there, let them put it in there. If another district parents say, no, we don't think that's age appropriate for our children, then don't put it in there. That's how it should go. So nobody's banning anybody's books. There's no piles of books being burned by the government. They're simply saying age appropriate for the children based on community standards. And that is how it should be, in my opinion. Okay, let's see. The two-tiered system of justice. Do I like the fact that the people in power of the government can use the power of government to come after me if they don't like my free speech? Well, it would probably shut me up if they came after me. So I would say no, I'm not in favor of that. Because remember, in free speech, I'm in favor of more free speech rather than less free speech. So I would say I don't like the fact that if two people do the same thing and one's in a favored group by the government, they don't get in trouble, but the other person does. I'm not in favor of that. I don't see that as just or fair to anyone, right? Isn't that what we're all about? Justice and fairness. So there should be one set of rules that everyone has to play by. That makes it all fair. And I'm about fair and just. Hence, I name my program Chasing Justice. See how that works? So I'm not in favor of the two-tier system. I don't think that favored politicians should be able to get away with things that you and I would go to prison for. I'm not in favor of politicians who represent what I believe in being locked up and destroyed and chased around and prevented me from voting for them, opposed to the people who are favored by the government. I'm not in favor of that. So I would have to say no on the two-tier system of justice. I'd vote no on it. I would say no, it should be an even playing field. Everyone follow the law and we go by the rule of law. That's what I would go by. Okay. So that answers that one. Energy. Yeah, I certainly appreciate $2 a gallon gasoline more than $4 a gallon gasoline. I sure do. Not just me. I work really, really hard. And while I can afford $4 gasoline, it puts a pinch on my spending money that I could be buying things for my grandbabies and my children and giving to charity and dropping in the church basket and all that because I have to put the money in my gas tank. So I am more in favor of $2 a gallon gas than $4 a gallon gas, absolutely. I also like cheap energy so that businesses can run, so that my friend Jay, the truck driver, right? Truck drivers bring 70% of everything you have in your life comes on a truck one way or another. I am absolutely in favor of gas being cheap for Jay so that Jay can bring us all the things we need and Jay can make a decent living doing something every one of us needs. I am in favor of low energy for propane, liquid natural gas, all kinds of natural gas, oil products, so that I can heat my house and keep it toasty warm in the winter and it doesn't ruin my budget. I don't have to choose between food and being warm in the winter, right? And many, many people who do not have the income to afford a lot of things, they don't have to spend every penny on gasoline just to get to work so that they can go back to work again. So I would have to come down on, I'm in favor of energy independence, drill baby drill, so to speak, and let's get a lot of fuel out there so we can export fuel to other countries. We have so much of it that it goes down in price so that we can all have a better life. That being said, I am also in favor of working on other alternative ways to energize us. I'm not opposed to the windmills if we can get them to work and be efficient. I'm not opposed to solar panels on people's houses or solar farms. I think that's good. I'm not opposed to electric cars when they can be affordable, they don't catch on fire, and there's enough ways to charge them up that can go more than 300 miles at a time. I think we should keep working on that stuff and work towards green energy. I do. I think green energy is a good thing. But I think when you can fly Air Force One on green energy, hopes and dreams, then I think it will be ready. But until then, it's not going to be ready. So I don't think we should be destroying our country and our economy and making people's lives miserable until we have all this other stuff perfected. So I'd vote yes on energy independence and drill baby drill, more oil, more fossil fuel, more stuff for now, and make sure it's clean, right? We have clean, we do clean stuff in America. So I'm in favor of that. I'm opposed to $4 a gallon gasoline, shutting down our pipelines and making us have to buy fuel from countries that hate us and will kill us and want to shut us off. I'm opposed to that. So I think I was pretty clear on that. And then American power. American power. Let's see. Oh, American power. Not the kind our friends on the left tell you about. You know, the evil American power that wants to subjugate and ruin people's lives and all that kind of thing. The real American power, the modern American power. You know, the ones where when the Axis powers of World War II got together and want to take over all of Europe and subjugate them to tyranny. And then the Japanese Imperial Army at the time want to take over the West Coast and everything in the Asian peninsulas. I'm opposed to that, and I'm glad we had American power then to shut all that nonsense down, because we suffered terribly as a nation and as a world because of the evil of tyrannical people. And thank God that America was able to step up. Now, it wasn't the only time America stepped up. It stepped up in World War I and protected Europe from the takeover by tyranny and horrific types of governments and dictators. So America has saved the world many, many times. If America was not in place, you know, the domino effect that everybody laughs about in the 60s and the 70s, you know, the rise of communism, the Soviet Union would have taken over Cuba, would have taken over South America, would have shut us down and led to yet another world war. Well, matter of fact, look right now what's going on. We have America in a very weakened place where lots of people think is good. Shut America down. America doesn't deserve to be strong. America is a problem. And America gets knocked back. We have a weak president. We have a weak Congress. We have a weak Senate. We have anti-American people around the world. Let's ask the question. This could have been in the quiz. Is the world safer with a weakened America? Or is the world less safe with a weakened America? So for the people who live here in this country who are ridiculous and absurd and hate their own country, the fact that we're weaker, the rest of the world is not saying, well, America's been knocked down a few pegs. Let's all now do the right thing and let's sing kumbaya and let's be good to each other and let's share. No, what you're seeing is the rise of dictators. You're seeing the rise of evil powers in Russia and in China and in North Korea, and all these different socialist communist governments that want to take over the world, subjugate you, subjugate your children, destroy America the rest of the way. So these idiots in this country who think that the world would be a utopia under your socialist government don't realize they'd be the first ones that would be rounded up by the socialist government, right? Because you can't have idiots like them running around, running their mouths, doing things. So the and I know I'm getting a little riled up about this because it seems crystal clear to me. A strong America is good for our country. It protects our people, every one of our people, every single person in America, no matter who you are, where you are socioeconomically, your race, region, religion, your creed, doesn't matter. If you're an American, a strong America is good for you, right? And it's good for the rest of the peace-loving people around the world to have a big brother like America around that the evil people are afraid to deal with. So they stay in line. They don't threaten to take over the straits of whatever in Asia there around Japan. They don't shoot missiles at Japan. They don't threaten to destroy South Korea. They don't threaten to invade all of Taiwan. They don't threaten to take over Europe again and reconstitute the Soviet. They don't do any of that when America is strong. And I have to say, and I'll say this as nice as I possibly can, if you don't see that, if you don't understand that reality, either number one, you don't want to see that because you have such a blind hatred of America. Number two, you're too stupid to see it. Or number three, you do see it, but somehow or other, it makes you feel good to knock America down and, you know, have the evil powers take over the world, because it'll be so much better when they're in charge, because they're going to go to each one of these left-wing progressive socialists and go, you were on our side, brother. Now we're going to give you a castle and a beautiful home. It's going to be fantastic for you. No, that's not what's going to happen. We all know it. They either don't know it or don't want to know it. And it's a shame if we let it happen. So where do I come down on that? I come down on a very, very strong, powerful America to protect us, our rights, our freedom, our liberty, and the freedom of the rest of the world. That's what I come down on. So there's my quiz. There's my quiz for today. How did you do on the quiz? Where did you come down? Did I make any sense to you? Did I say things that incensed you? To all of you people in your basement taking notes on Lieutenant Joe. Are you absolutely offended that I would think a strong America is good for the world? America's so bad for the world. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Did that offend you? I'm sorry it offended you. You know, I don't know. Maybe go outside and burn a flag. You'll feel better. All right. Go outside and burn a flag. You'll feel better about yourself. But for everybody else, while this is a joking manner that I'm doing this quiz, I'm borrowing from the great Rush Limbaugh in being absurd to show absurdity, right? Actually, a great move on Rush's part. And that's what I was doing, borrowing that technique to show the absurdity of these things, which goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, that I'm shocked when you stop and you stand back and you look at the things that we argue about today in our country, the things that we fight about today, and you think about them in the context of, are they good or bad things? The fact that we have literally hundreds of thousands of American citizens marching in the street in support of Hamas, a terror organization that brutalizes their own people and brutalizes Israelis, has taken hostages. By the way, the hostages are still in captivity. Since October of 2023, they're still there, locked in tunnels. Innocent people who did nothing, who were kidnapped, raped, brutalized, dragged away from their homes after their families were murdered in cold blood. And they're still being kept in the tunnels. And we have hundreds of thousands of people in America marching in the streets, standing up for Hamas, standing up for terrorists. Now, I'm not against the citizens of Gaza and the West Bank, the Palestinian people. I'm not against them. They want to live good and decent lives. I get it. Well, there's a way to do that. There's a formula to do that. You put down your arms. You accept the borders that the rest of the world recognizes. And you stop with this idea that you're going to destroy Israel and get rid of them. And you start to accept that this is the border. This is what we have. And how do we make it better? The world will jump in and help you like we have. The world has given billions of dollars. It's been stolen by Hamas, used for terror tunnels and for weapons to attack Israelis. If Hamas were to surrender tomorrow, the war would be over. The war would be over. There would be no more fighting. There wouldn't be another bomb, not another rocket fired by the Israeli IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They would surrender. It would be over, and the rebuilding of Gaza and the West Bank could begin. That's how easy it is. We renounce terror. We're not going to attack innocent Israelis anymore. We want to create our own state within the borders that we have. We want to have good lives for our children. We want to improve our form of living. We want to be a part of the world citizenry. That's all they have to do. That's all they have to do. Now, I do feel bad for many of the citizens of Gaza and the West Bank that are being controlled by Hamas. Because just like in Nazi Germany or Imperial Japan, you couldn't speak against the government. They would come and kill you. Well, if people speak up against Hamas, the good and decent people in Gaza and West Bank, the Palestinians who are suffering under this terrorist organization, if they speak up, they'll be killed. They'll be taken away. Well, they're used as human shields. Right? They're used as human shields. And that's another thing. And I could go into this, and I'm going to have to do a whole nother show on this whole idea of the nonsense that we look at with such jaundiced, ridiculous eyeballs to say that there's parity between Hamas and Israel. There's no parity. Israel is an independent, free country where Arabs hold places in the government, can have jobs, can live. Jews cannot live in Gaza and the West Bank. They cannot hold places of government in those places. They will be murdered if they go there. They're not equal. Hamas is a terrorist organization, and it's bad. It's bad for the people of their own country, and it's bad for the rest of the world. They are terrorists, right? And the fact that we conflate them, we have hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of America cheering on those who are holding hostages right now, murdered people, murdered babies. Do we forget that? you and me listening right now, do we forget what they did to innocent women and children and babies? And the fact that they're still holding people in tunnels, probably brutalizing them every single day? And we just go on with our lives? We watch these people in the streets waving these banners for, oh, Hamas, Hamas, they're just... It is unbelievable. So I wish the people of Palestine the best. I want them to thrive. I would love to go on vacation to those places. They're beautiful if they could be allowed to be rebuilt. If they would stop with the idea that they're going to destroy Israel and throw Israel off the map. That is not going to happen. And nobody seems to be able to talk sense to them and say, that's not going to happen. So let's make a better world for your people now. All right, let's go forward with that. Let's stop with the nonsense that you're telling everyone you're going to get rid of Israel. You're not going to get rid of Israel. That's not going to happen. But they go on and on with that thought. They teach their children. They show them maps, and it's called Palestine. There's no Israel there. This is not moving people forward. But yet, they continue. And those hostages are held right now in those tunnels. Babies, women, children, elderly, being brutalized. And the rest of the world looks the other way and sympathizes with the terrorists. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Do you understand it? I don't. All right, well, our quiz took me a little long down the road, ladies and gentlemen. I really wanted to tell you a Tales from the Road. And I had a good one. You know, I had a good one. So I'm going to have to do another show with some Tales from the Road. But I guess we'll end. Let me get off of that. See, it got me wound up. It drained me. That drained me, thinking about that. That nonsense, the absurdity, and those poor hostages. Those poor hostages being held in those tunnels right now, being brutalized still. And yes, for those out there thinking, yes, I feel bad for the people in the West Bank and for the people in Gaza. I feel bad for them. But the answer is really in their hands. You know, Israel didn't go over the border and murder 1,300 of them and rape and kill them. They're responding back to years of constant attacks and rockets into Israel for no reason, where people try to live, just trying to live. All of this ends for them if they just surrender. It's over. We're done. We want to accept our borders. We want to move forward. And we want a better life for our children and for our families to come down the road. We want to be a part of the world of good. That's what we want to do. That's how easy it is. It is one white flag. And they come out and say, it's over. We're done. We're ready to move forward. And all of this would be over. So that kind of caught me up. That got me going today. It got me thinking. I hope it got you thinking. I have sympathy for all people who suffer anywhere in the world. But there is justice. There is a sense of justice in what's right. And whether it be in Gaza and the West Bank, or Hezbollah throwing rockets over the Israeli border to the people in Israel there, that's not right either. To the North Koreans shooting rockets towards Japan and South Korea and threatening them, there are good and there are evil regimes. We must stand with the good and we must reject the evil. And you know what? If you're so confused, you really can't tell the difference between who's who, then you really need to do a little more studying, because it's not that hard to figure out who's good and who's bad in the world. I guess the easiest way to look at it would be if one side gave up, what would happen? If the Israelis dropped their arms down, would there be peace or would there be more fighting? If the South Koreans lowered their arms at the 38th parallel, would there be more peace or less peace? If the people of Ukraine put down their weapons, would there be more peace or less peace? If Taiwan stopped fighting for itself, would there be more peace or less peace? No, it's very, very clear what would happen. Evil would take hold all the way around the world. Think about that. Till we get together again, my friends, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.